Welcome to the Kelly Cardenas Podcast, where attitude is everything. On today's show, he likes to just be called Greg Reed or even just Greg, but he's an author, keynote speaker, film producer, master storyteller. He's an Inc. Forbes entrepreneur, TEDx. He's got a thing that we're going to talk about, which is called The Secret Knock. His books are this, and just I'm going to hit them quick, but I want you to write them all down because you need to check them all out because it'll change your life. The Millionaire Mentor, which is complimentary on his website. The Wealth Made Easy, The Tokens, 3 Feet from Gold, Thoughts Are Things, Napoleon Hill's The Road to the Riches, Everything is Subject to Change. My favorite one, Greg, which is Stickability, Positive Impact Initiative, Universal Wealth, Success is Something Greater, The Boardroom Buddha. And so please welcome to the show, Greg.
You're missing so many books. I'm really disappointed. You know, it's so funny. Listen to this. So I've been published in 110 books. That means either I did a blurb, a quote, a forward, a backwards, I authored, co-authored, whatever it is. And it's really cool because I can't really read very well. I can't spell and I'm dyslexic. So the whole thing is you work your strengths, hire your weaknesses. Like you said, attitude is everything. Find the solution.
So, Greg, let's hop right in, man. One of the things that stuck out to me is, number one, the Napoleon Hill connection, which I think is great because I was raised, my dad was a Napoleon Hill guy, Og Mandino, the whole nine. So, 3 Feet from Gold. Talk to us a little bit about this concept and this thought process. I mean, people out there can read the book, but I think the concept is so important to so many people.
Yeah, and you just name dropped like a whole bunch of stuff there. And before we even begin, I just want to talk about how rude it is for you to show off how cool you've got hair. And, I feel like you're dogging me out a little bit here, but let me show you something that's kind of cool. So this is Think and Grow Rich, but let me see if I can find a really cool version here. This one right here, when I started working with the Napoleon Hill Foundation, they gave me this. I went in the back archives. They pulled this off the shelf. I think this is the last one he signed before he passed away.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that wild?
Yes.
Something you don't see every day. I'll show you something else you never see. It went in the back, and they found these checks. And this was actually from the Napoleon Hill Foundation, filled out and signed by Napoleon Hill as the president. And this was to reimburse him for promoting Think and Grow Rich back in the media back in the day. Isn't that kind of cool?
Wow. You were giving me a hard time about showing off with the hair, but you got trophies behind you. You got the whole nine.
Oh,
I only got Peter Lick behind me. I need to step my game up.
Yeah, look at that art. Gotta like that one. So, 3 Feet from Gold is the very first chapter of Think and Grow Rich. It's a guy named R.U. Darby who gave up 3 feet away from the largest strike in the history of the world. And the moral was, how many times have we or someone we know quit 3 feet away from, giving up from their dream, starting a business, a marriage, whatever it is? It's easy to quit, but it's the people that persevere and go that extra 30 feet. They're the ones that we tell the stories about today. And 3 Feet from Gold, Sharon Lecter and I went around the world and interviewed the most amazing human beings to tell their stories. And it was pretty spectacular because it's not our story. It's these people's stories. Can I share one of them?
Absolutely.
Hold on 1 second. My greatest aha, the greatest takeaway that I had of all these different ones was a gentleman named John Schwartz who created something called super string theory. If you ever watched the Big Bang Theory, Sheldon was trying to figure it out. But the person who figured it out for real was John Schwartz. And I said, what do successful people do different than others? And he said, successful people seek counsel and failures listen to opinion. I go, what's the difference? He goes, well, opinion is based on ignorance, lack of knowledge, or inexperience, like your family, friends who've never done what you're about to venture upon. Counsel is based on wisdom, knowledge, mentorship. People have paved the way. If you go to a family friend, like I did, and say, I'm going to write a best-selling book, they're going to try to talk me out of it to protect me, to keep me safe, because they know I'm dyslexic and I can't spell. But if I go to Mark Victor Hansen, who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul and sold 1 billion copies, he's going to say, Greg, sit down. Here's what you need to know, and give you counsel based on wisdom, knowledge, mentorship. John Schwartz said, if we would spend our activity only seeking counsel and ignoring people's opinion, that's the day your life would change.
Here we go again with the shameless promotion. This episode is also brought to you by Piper Diamonds for all your jewelry needs. My necklace that I get complimented all over the country and all over the world, my pendant was made by Piper Diamonds Company. This place is absolutely phenomenal. When you're looking for that special something for that special someone, Piper Diamonds is the only answer. It's piperdiamonds.co. And it's also brought to you by Kelly Cardenas Salon in Las Vegas and in Chicago. This is top-level service, guys, without the ego, and hands down, the greatest shampoo experience that you will ever have in your life. This will create an evangelistic type experience. You will be talking about this for years and years to come. The wash house, completely separate area, different sound system, soundproofed, head, neck, and shoulder massage. You will be over the moon with your experience, and you can schedule your appointment at KellyCardenasSalon.com. Enjoy the rest of the episode. So, Greg, let's talk about the starting lines. I was just having a conversation with my friend Kevin just earlier today, and we were talking about starting lines and how starting lines will affect or can. This is up for debate. It can affect the ultimate outcome. So let's talk about your starting line. You as a young kid, did you have these thought processes? Were you on that level where you were constantly seeking counsel, or was it something that you learned over time?
It's something I learned early on. I had great mentors, and I actually did something crazy and I applied what they taught me. Again, look, I'm a regular guy. I barely graduated high school, never went to college. And I just, all I did was follow successful actions of others. And just for clarity, from age 20 to 40, I only had one job. I was one of those guys. I had one job this whole life. And it was in advertising. And I ended up starting my own company later on. And I sold it for a good little hit. And then people kept asking how I did it, knowing that I'm just a regular knucklehead. And I says, well, I went to these seminars and listened to these tapes. I listened to these chants. And I started applying those words of wisdom, and that's how we got to where we are today. And it's very interesting because I remember when I wanted to be a speaker, I went to a guy named Les Brown. He's a motivational legend. You got to be hungry. I said, Les, give me one nugget, just one thing I could do different to help my business. And he did. I applied it. A month later, I found him again, says, I met you a month ago. I asked for one nugget. You gave it to me. Here's my results. What should I do next, sir? The chance of him giving me the second nugget is 1,000,000,000%, because not one human being has ever done that before. And what happens is that you honor your mentors by showing that you actually follow through. Imagine if you even have kids, people watching this, and your kid came up and said, hey, how can I make $20 today? They say, oh, you can go wash the car. And let's say they wash the car and they come back and go, guess what? I'm done with the car. It's perfect. Once you inspect it, here's the $20. What can I do to make an extra $10 now? Who would not do that all day? But nobody does that. It's so simple.
So talk to us about young Greg. Okay, so you told us you yada-yadded us up till 20 years old. Let's talk about that young Greg as far as some of the principles that your parents put in play, or maybe it was an uncle or aunt or whoever it was, that helped you to be able to shape that mindset of applying the type of wisdom that you were around.
Yeah, I didn't have that. So again, I don't have a rags-to-riches story. I don't have one of those back. I grew up on the beach. West Coast, San Diego, Del Mar, California. I'm 57. I skateboard. I'm just a normal guy, man. Like I said, I had such a great lifestyle growing up. You know, our family lived in beautiful estates, and we drove fancy cars. And I mean, I had a good life. But the only difference was that, you know, they worked in normal corporate jobs, and they didn't understand the entrepreneurial thing. In fact, I got in trouble as a kid being an entrepreneur. At age 14, I wanted to buy stuff, but I didn't have a job. I couldn't get one. So what I did is I went to the neighbors and I got them to give me $10 to mow their lawn. And then I hired the other kids in the neighborhood for $5 to mow the lawn for me. I mean, it's simple, right? I just made the spread. And I got in trouble for taking advantage of the kids. And today, I'm awarded for it. But as a kid, I got in trouble.
So talk to us about some of the disadvantages of growing up in a sector like that, because a lot of times people think, if I grow up in sunny California, maybe I have fancy cars growing up, I've got the money, then everything's going to be cool. Talk to us about the disadvantages of that.
I don't have any disadvantages of it. It was an amazing life. I mean, again, I don't have that story. I'm sorry. I'm not that guy. So the next guy, I'm sure, will cry and tell all those bad things. I had a great life. I had a great lifestyle. I had a good childhood. I had a good thing growing up. And what's really cool is I get to carry that on to the next generation, to my son, who's 8 years old. And, you know, the only thing that was different, and again, it's not our parents' fault, is that my generation, we had about 7 minutes a day FaceTime with our parents. That was it, because, you know, they were working and school and all this different stuff. In our generation, were always there. I mean, my kid's going to grow up and go, holy crap, Dad, you'd never go away, right? Because you know, we're always available. So that would be the only thing. But again, I didn't see that as a negative. It's just the way it was at that time.
So how do you see, as far as maybe someone not growing up in that, and here you come and you have, you're saying, like, you know, hear wisdom, hear mentorship, and apply it. And a lot of times people out there don't even understand what the word mentor is, or that they're available. And it's amazing because, like you said, I mean, most of the time, a person who's doing great things, if you call them, they'll answer. But 90% of the people don't call because they think that the person won't answer. So talk to us a little. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, they're waiting for a bad. They got a bad case of the one size. That means I'll call them once I get the big break. Once I have the great opportunity. But you have to take action when it strikes you. And the most successful people are also the most available. If you're brand new at something, you're happy-go-lucky, you're fresh or cool. If you're at the top, you're happy-go-lucky, you got nothing to prove. In the middle, pain in the neck, you're filled with ego, you're edging God out. And so I believe that our phones are filled with amazing human beings that we've met at networking groups and all this stuff. I was waiting for that perfect time to call. If I could give any recommendation, open that phone today and call three people you've been putting off just to say hi and check in. And even schedule something for 3 months down the road to get together. And the key to this one, here's how I get access to the most amazing people. Now, people go, oh, it's easy for you. Bullshit. You've never heard of me before, this thing. So I'm the same as everyone else I reach out. No one knows me. The only thing I do different is specificity. And this is the key to everything. Everyone, what? Listen to this. Specificity. If I want to get to the founder of NASCAR or RE/MAX Real Estate, what I do is I call them up and say, I need 12.5 minutes of your time. I'll cover all my own expenses to see you. I'll fly on out from the moment that door opens till the moment I leave will be 12 and a half minutes. I will start my clock and I promise I will leave the moment that it goes off. I'm just going to ask you one simple question. Why you didn't quit three people? Well, shut up. The chance of them coming down from their boardroom or from their office to do that is so high. But people go to people and go, I want to pick your brain. I don't want my brain picked. I don't want to go to lunch with you. I don't want to have coffee. I don't want to go to dinner. But if you can give me a specificity, I promise I'll open the doors. I remember I get off stage and there's 10,000 people and there's a long line of folks that want to meet you. They say the nicest things. How can I work with you? How can I be of contribution? How can I be of service? I don't know you. I don't have 20 minutes to do a resume check compared to a guy coming up to me saying, hey, I love your talk. By the way, I'm trying to turn this thing off. Says, I love your talk. I saw your Instagram. You have 500,000 followers. I make cool memes. Let me make you one. If you like it, maybe you'll use me. What is that? 4 seconds? I know who you are, what you do. You got my cell phone and we're in contact. Boom. Specificity is the key to open up the doors.
So once you start flying in those orbits, how talk to us too about once this stuff starts to happen, the circles almost they're very small. And when you get inside them, then it almost perpetuates the same type of activity. Am I correct? How important is that?
Yeah. Water seeks its own. I'm trying to figure out how to turn this little thingy off here. It's so funny. Okay. Silent mode on. Now it should not work right there. It's so funny. I got a chance to meet the guy who invented the cell phone. He lives, I saw him on 60 Minutes. His name is Marty Cooper. And I remember I had a chance to hang out and I said, Marty, I was working on a book, Stickability. I go, what does stickability mean to you? And he said, stickability has to be parallel with flexibility. Mm. He says, if you're not willing to adapt and adjust, you get stuck. And he told a story about a spider monkey. He said, in the rainforest, you can't harpoon it, spear it, catch it. It's too wiry. But one hunter figured it out. He took a heavy log, drilled a hole, dropped a peanut inside, and left it at the base of the jungle. The monkey would smell the nut, come down, reach his hand in, grab a hold of the nut, and his fist becomes so big he can't pull it back out, become anchored to the log. All he's got to do is let go, but he holds on thinking it's nutrition, it's saving him. The hunter comes by an hour later, captures the elusive spider monkey. The moral is, though, are we holding on to our own nut in life? But it could be in the form of that job or a car, or a deal or a relationship or fear or the past. And what we're holding on with dear life, thinking that it's saving us, just like the monkey thought the nut was, could also be the thing that's leading to our own demise right now. Sometimes we have to have the courage and the fortitude to simply let go, adapt, and adjust so we can live to fight another day. And to answer your question, yes, water seeks its own level. Energy vibrates at a certain level. The fact of the matter is, if I play a D chord on a piano, as we know, the guitar in the corner, even if you without touching it, will start resonating that same D chord. That's how vibration works. So it's important that if you live an enthusiastic life, other people you start attracting into your sphere will be enthusiastic. In fact, you can tell exactly how you're feeling inside by what you're seeing outside. I'm going to give you an example. If you go to the grocery store and go, God, everyone's a bunch of crap heads today. Why is everyone in a bad mood? Chances are, that's where we are. If we ever go to the same grocery store and the next day go, holy smokes, everyone's in such a great mood. I love the grape guy. Well, guess what? It's usually because we're feeling that way inside. So we all need mirrors to remind us who we are. And sometimes that outside reflection is exactly that.
Another pause for station identification and shameless promotion. This episode is also brought to you by Finley Cars of Las Vegas. I tell you, next level in the car buying experience. And not only that, but the life of your car, the service that you're going to experience is incredible. It's Finley Volvo Cars, LV.com. And also brought to you by Bling Shine Serum, the only product on the market that will add weightless moisture, strength, and shine, and the only product that has the endorsement of my mama. When I showed her all the features and benefits, she smelled it and she said, this is the greatest product that you've ever done. And I thought, Mom, do you not look at the features and benefits? She said, no, if it smells like that, it must work. And I tell you, every single woman needs a little bit of bling in their life, and this can be purchased at KellyCardenasSalon.com. So a person that vibrates at your level, how do you create cultures? Because it seems like the people that you are around, and we're around very common people. My friend Tim Story is a friend and an associate of yours. John Paul DeJoria, good friend of mine, good friend of yours. When you're looking in these areas, where are you gaining the most inspiration? I mean, you seem to be building you seem to be building everyone else up. Where do you gain inspiration from?
I just live the life that I want. Like, I'm such a blessed guy. And again, I have appreciation for my life. So many people, look, here's the fact. There's 10 things going on in our world right now. 8 of them kick ass. 1 of them, one sucks. And most people just focus on sucking. And guess what? Everything sucks. I just focus on those 8. that's my mindset, because the one that's is going to settle itself. The one, look, there's stuff that's always, if you're swinging for the fences, you're always going to have some type of thing you're working through. So to me, though, I focus on the positives. It's almost like rewarding ourselves for things going good. I think sometimes we have to stop and go, look, hey, by the way, I paid rent last month. Nice job. I kept the lights on. Hey, I did these little baby simple steps. Because at one time, the things that we're complaining about are things that we are praying for that would have in our existence. Now we have them, and we lose appreciation. It's so interesting. Last year when all this stuff hit, I realized I had something called a great death style. And I rarely talk about this, but I had a great death style. What that means is that I hit all 80 of my bucket list items. I lived a very full life already. And then door number 2, I called accountants and I said, hey, am I set? They said, yes. I called my insurance guys. I go, is my kid going to be a billionaire? The answer is yes. Do I have legacy and both? Yeah. I go, here's a death style. I'm pretty, worst case scenario, I'm pretty good. And then I looked outside and I realized I had 3 brand new cars in my driveway that I wasn't allowed to drive. And I went, huh, this is interesting. Did I really need this? And do I need this? And do I need this? And I realized that I want to change my next lifestyle. So what I did is I downsized and changed a lot of little things. It's little things. I went through all the closets, and anything I hadn't used in a year, I just donated. And then I went and returned, you know, a Porsche that I never even drove. Literally sat, took up space and things. And I said, why am I living this life showing things off or whatever that BS thing that I was trying to be, when I realized it wasn't that important? And I'm telling you, so I had a great epiphany, because I realized my new lifestyle, it's going to be different than the old past.
So when you're vibrating on that level, how are you able to construct a culture? Because I heard you talk about your son. And when we were on Clubhouse, you were talking about your son and how you're passing this on. So most of the time, what I see with high-level people like yourself, that the second generation is consuming the seeds as opposed to continuing to plant. How are you helping your son to be able to plant the seeds as opposed to consume?
Well, first of all, we're writing a book together. When he was a kid, he's 8 now, right? When he was a kid, when he was 7, he did a CD. It was number 1 album on Amazon. Number 1 album on Amazon at 7. He's got his own Spotify channel. And basically, he does this mantra before he goes to sleep. He goes, my name is Colt. I'm happy, I'm brave, I'm wise, I'm worthy, I'm successful, I help people, my name's Colt, and he goes to sleep. And so I had a buddy of mine take it and put hip hop music to it, and it took off. And then he went to the studio and did more and more and more, and now he's making his own tracks. More importantly, you know, I'm teaching him the next generation. Most parents don't educate their kids on simple things like financial literacy. They don't talk to them about, you know, the things that are taboo topics, you know, whether it's sex, drugs, whatever, where I'm such an open communication with every single thing so I can educate my son so he can make his own decisions. Even like, as you know, when he was, again, when he was a kid, he was six, he got money from his grandparents, he got money from birthdays, Christmas, and he had a bunch of cash. And I said, what do you want to do with it? And Bitcoin was the cool thing. It was, let's buy Bitcoin. So we opened up a mutual account. He just hit six figures that thing. So they bought it early, right? And the fact of the matter is he's 8 years old. By the time he's 18, he's going to probably be a millionaire because he's taking these actions. Financial literacy. I got him a debit card, a little credit card, debit card, so he can see what credits and debits look like. And it goes on his phone. So the other day, we're at an amusement park type of thing, and he wanted to show off, so he paid for him and his buddies, and it came like $75, and ding, it's on his phone, and saw $75 come out, and he goes, how much exactly is that? I go, well, you got to wash three of my cars, and you got to pull some weeds in the back. He goes, screw that. He goes, all right. He goes, no. He goes, and the greatest thing, he goes, how can I get that $75 back? And I go, that's exactly it. And so he's starting to see things. And we raise them with an attitude is rather than say, I can't afford something, first of all, he can't afford it, but rather than say that, he always says, how can I afford it? And so it's just a different mindset shift, and therefore he has everything you want. Interesting, right?
Absolutely. So talk to us too about when you were talking about financial literacy. I'd like to go down that rabbit hole a little bit because, you know, people think that, oh, a person like Greg, it's easy for you to understand finances. It's easy for you to be able to multiply. It's easy in that realm. Where does it start? You seem to break things down so simply. You just said that if you want to get a mentor to give you a second piece of advice, simply do the first one. You told us, ask for 12.5 minutes of a person's time and have specificity. What would it be as far as those simple things on financial literacy to be able to get people started on the road to a different life?
Well, it's starting and starting. So it literally it's opening up again, I'm not representing a financial institution. If you go on, open up a Fidelity account or E-Trade account, what are we doing to start, right? And again, it's just starting. And for some reason, we have no problem finding $40 to go buy something today. However, people will have a challenge putting $40 into that trading account and buying one share of, you know, $40 stock. And so that, it's just a mentality of training ourselves to do it. And again, we've got to do a combination of both. For example, I cashed out some of our Bitcoin money the other day and I gave him a couple $1,000s, my son. And I said, here's 2000. What do you want to do with it? It's all yours. Knock your socks off. And he goes, I'd like to put $1,000 on my debit card so I can buy, you know, video games and stuff if I want to. But more importantly, I want to open up a stock account and buy Target and Walmart stock. I go, what? I go, why? And he goes, that's where I go and I spend most of my money. So that way I'm making it coming and going. What do you say? Except for, all right, that makes sense, right? So the whole idea is, again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I just look at the common sense thing. I'll give you an example. When the whole situation happened last year and everything shut down, I do contrarian investing. You watch the masses and go the other way. And so I realized that the number one coffee outlet in the world, their stock went less than half. I mean, it just plummeted because no one could go to these stores. Everything was shut down. And just being a regular guy, I went, well, maybe I should go buy that stock because I know that as soon as things open up, where's the first place I'm going and everyone else back to that coffee outlet. And sure enough, what do you think happened 3 months later? Doubled up. I mean, so you can double your money in these type of situations if you look at those opportunities where most people don't see it. They only see the crash. They don't see the opportunity.
Well, there's very few people, Greg, that have both that I'm going to talk about, which is you have the ability to apply things, but you also have a vibe that is infectious. Right when we got on the call today, it was like, I knew I was going to force you to be my friend for the rest of our life. So talk to us about how important vibe is when you're choosing the people that you want to work with.
We go together like shabbat a bobbity bum. Right? And by the way, it's kind of cool. This is one of my favorite pictures. That's John Travolta teaching me Pulp Fiction dance during Grammys night up in Hollywood a few years ago. Crazy, right? It's cool. It's kind of the cool little vibe. The way that we seek our tribe is that we also have to have what I call filters. And I have a rule in my life, and it's harsh. I'll warn everybody, but this is my filter. If it feeds you, feed it more. Whether it's financial, spiritual, relationship, physical, whatever. If it feeds you, feed it more. And if it eats, you got to kill it. If it feeds you, feed it more. If it eats, you got to kill it. And by having that mentality, I surround myself with things that only feed me. Because as soon as I see something's eating, I got to let it go. And it's not a hard feeling. It's just, I go, that doesn't feel good. And I let that go. And it takes training and time. But if we sat there on a piece of paper today and said, I'm going to make a list of the people I hang out with. And if it's feeding you over here, they're golf buddies. They make you laugh at things. Awesome. But if over here you got this one person that brings you down, is a Debbie Downer and always borrows money and doesn't pay back, whatever it is, just let it go. And by having that simple mentality, you start hanging out with only positive vibrations and you attract even more of it.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you're enjoying it. Now's the time to do some shameless promotion. This episode is brought to you by Squeeze Dried, a delicious, no-hassle way to get superfoods, vitamins, and nutrition. SqueezeDried.com. It's also brought to you by Cardenas Law Group, a high-level boutique law firm for all your personal injury needs. That's CardenasLawGroup.com. Thank you so much again for listening. Hopefully you're continuing to enjoy the episode. When did you realize, because obviously, like in one of the titles was Master Storyteller, and anyone who's listening right now, you know why that title is there. When did you figure out that that was so important, or was it natural?
Because people remember stories. They only remember how you made them feel. So for example, when I'm on stage, I never talk about Greg. No one gives two craps about Greg. So I tell stories that they can see themselves in. And so they can put themselves in a certain situation so they can have a takeaway. I'll just an example. One of my favorite ones was the guy who invented Apple, Steve Wozniak. You know, Jobs and him created one of the greatest iconic brands in the world. And Jobs was such a great spokesperson and branding guy, where Wozniak's the guy back there actually making everything. And I sat him down one day. I go, how did you and Jobs have so much success in your life? And he says, well, we embraced our lack. What do you mean? He goes, where most people run from what they don't have, I ran toward it. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, these little microchip processor things came out. They were so expensive, we could only afford one chip. He goes, Jobs sold his Volkswagen. I sold my calculator. We pooled our money. We bought one chip. He goes, Hewlett-Packard would make machines that go from A to B with 20 chips. They had all the money of God. He said, so I'd pull away five and go to A to B with 15. I'd pull away five, get it to work with 10. Eventually, I went from A to B using our one chip. He goes, we were not trying to be innovative, cool, aerodynamic. We could afford one freaking chip. He goes, but by embracing that as an opportunity, we found the shortest, cleanest path. And by doing that, we changed the way people do personal computing for the rest of the world, for the rest of their life. He said, where could you be right this moment in your own chosen field of endeavor? If you stop looking at something as your greatest challenge and obstacle, but it could just be your greatest blessing, your greatest opportunity in disguise. Okay, there's a story, right? So the way I do it is there's a beginning, middle, and end. It's almost like a song. They're usually 2.5 minutes long. And so it's a beginning, middle, end, little melody, and the hook. Now, you remember the way you feel and you see yourself in that story rather than being on stage going, you should do this, because no one gives a crap what you say. They just want to know how they can apply it towards their life, right?
Well, it's incredible to you orate it so phenomenal. Tell us about when you were saying that if you feed it, how was it?
If it feeds you,
feed it some more. If it consumes from you, then kill it. Okay.
Gotta go.
Tell us when you learned that lesson the hard way, and how that almost came to be in your life.
No. Again, I'm not going to live in that negative past. All I'm saying is we all have those things, right? I will tell you this, though. One of my greatest ahas of today, my greatest aha takeaway. And again, people are going to write something down. I'm about to give you the greatest nugget that I got. And this changed my life. And I wish I would have learned it when I was earlier. But it's called CPC. It's about accountability and responsibility for every single thing that happens. It's your fault. Stop blaming other people. And it works like this. CPC is an acronym, clues, P, patterns, C, choice. CPC, clues, patterns, choices. I'm a single guy right now. I'm 57 years old. By the way, you ladies, come on now, right? And let's say I go out on a first date. She happens to be 20 minutes late. Now, anything could have happened, a car accident. We don't know what happened. But there's a little red flag, but that's the first C. It's a clue. Now, if I go on the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth date, and every single time she's 20 minutes late, that forms a P, which stands for pattern. Now, it's my C choice whether I deal with it, I yell at her, I break up, but it's not her fault. She's just late. Stop trying to change people to fit in your own little paradigm box. No one wants to be changed, trust me. But in business, we'll see someone cheat your best friend. They have a bad reputation, but we do business thinking, it'll be different for me. Things go wrong and we're mad at the person. Yeah, we saw the clue. We saw the pattern. We made the choice. It's like seeing a rattlesnake rattle, bite your kid's sister. You go to pet it, get bit, and you're mad at the snake. Looking back in life, rarely are we angry at the relationships we entered that failed or the business negotiations that fell through. We're just mad that we stayed in too long because we saw the clue. We saw the pattern, but we made our choices late.
What are some of the things that some of the clues or patterns that when you're looking and you know that you need to walk away from this thing? What is the, I mean, is it just that simple for you, feed you? But let's go into it in a little bit more detail. What are some of the signs that a person could see that maybe this isn't for me?
Well, it's different for each person. So it's impossible for me to say. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a therapist. I write books and make movies. I will say this. That's changed my life. And look, if it, look, there's a difference between a hope, wish, belief, and the knowing. But you know, look, bottom line, everyone knows what it is. Everyone knows their tolerance level. So my pain threshold's different than yours. And it's different, my love threshold's different than yours. It's different for every person. So there's no one size fits all. But I do know this, if it feeds you, just keep feeding it. And if it eats, that sucker's got to go.
So talk to me too about the ability to adapt immediately, because I mean, even through this interview right now, you adapt at a crazy rate. And I think that life and survival, whether it be in business or in relationships, is the ability to be able to adapt to the scenario. So how important is that to you?
Well, it's important to keep, again, my energy level. Again, and I mean this in the most respectful way. It's like as soon as we start trying to bring me down or look in a different, I don't want that in my life. So therefore, that's not the energy I want to vibrate at. Look, nowhere in PMA, positive mental attitude, does it say that we have to avoid reality, but it does imply we don't want to be stuck in that. So I do my very best to stay away from the piling of poop that's out there. If I can avoid stepping in it, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm just going to avoid it. So the whole thing is I don't like feeling bad. I don't like feeling, you know, bad stuff. I like feeling good stuff. So what I do is I look towards that, but it doesn't mean I'm in it's not there. My mentor, Dave Corbin, taught me something called illuminate. And he said, there's old dancing bears in Disney. It says, you've got to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. He said, that's 100% wrong. He says you have to accentuate the positive and illuminate the negative. The second you put a spotlight on it, you get rid of it, and it deals with it right away, just like I'm doing right now. And the whole thing is if I got a pimple, and again, I got a first date, as soon as she opens the door, I'm going, let's get this out of the way, Mount Kilimanjaro. You'll both laugh, and I whole night I don't have to worry about hiding it. And so by putting it out there, it gets rid of it. Do the hardest thing first, and then the rest is easy.
Tell us a bit about Secret Knock, because all that you're talking about, it rolls right into that and wraps right around it. And it puts you in a place where, I mean, this is not a convention for everyone. It's a convention for a specific type of person. Tell us about that and why that's been so important to you.
Well, Secret Knock started as kind of a joke. It was in my living room. People said, how do I meet all your friends? And so I invited like a few of them, and 12 people showed up, and they said, do I need a ticket? I go, bum, ba, da, bum, ba. I go, just do the secret knock. We'll let you in. And people went and told everyone and told everyone, and it just blew up. And we became Forbes magazine, Inc. magazine, Entrepreneur, listed top event in the world for networking business leaders. And our next one's going to be in September, which will be phenomenal, by the way. And it's not as much as a convention as it's a seminar. We limit to about 250, 300 people because there's no name tags. Everyone's treated the same, but it's weird. It costs $3,000 to go, and we will not tell you where it is or who will be there. We just tell you the city and state and the dates, so you can make plane reservations. And then beforehand, we'll drip to the people that are registered where it will be as a secret so they can show up. And the reason I did that is instead of coaches and teachers and mentors, I said, what do I just bring in the person who did it? And so if you're going to start a brand new clothing line, hey, here's the dude who did the UGG boots, a multi-billion dollar brand. Go shoot some pool with him, and, you know, ask him some questions. Hey, I got an idea for an invention. Oh, here's a guy who made that strip on the back of a credit card, magnetic thing. I go, why don't you go over here and have some, you know, some sodas with him. Hey, I'm going to do this over here. And by doing that, we bring in the world top thought leaders where you have direct access to them. It's like nothing anyone's ever seen or why people like it and been talking about it for years.
Well, I almost stop myself from asking this question, but I have to because you live in pinch me moments all the time, Greg. Tell us about some pinch me moments, if there even is one, any in your life.
Well, every day, because I get, look, when I was 17, I made a bucket list and it was like the 80 insane, impossible items I had to do before I died. And 2 years ago, I got across the last one off. I mean, I have literally climbed the roof of Africa, Mount Kilimanjaro. I have ran with the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. I've swam with sharks. I carried the torch for the U.S. Olympic, made a major motion pick. Whatever, you name it, I've done it. And they were impossible. And so I live my life in these pinch me moments. And the way I do it is by I'm always looking forward. I just don't live in the rear view mirror. And by doing that, it keeps opening up the doors of opportunity of what's coming next. And by having that mindset, again, I don't have to know exactly how. Truett Cathy, founder of Chick-fil-A, said, stop planning. He goes, nothing ever goes as planned. Have a strategy, have a goal, but then look for unexpected opportunity. He says, if I'm on my sofa and I'm going to get to the end of the street, I get off my backside and I move that way. A planner is going to plan every step, or they're going to pause, take a break. If a sprinkler comes on, it freaks them out. They run back home because it didn't go as planned. He goes, I'm looking around. Did a kid leave a skateboard or a bicycle out I can borrow to make my journey short? If I get real lucky, I'll wave down a neighbor driving by. I'll hitch a ride. He goes, either way, I'll get to my goal. I'm just not so caught up in exactly how it's going to happen. And that's how I like to live my life each and every day. By the way, did I mention my movie?
You didn't. I was going to mention it, but talk to us about it.
Yeah, I got about 5 more minutes, but I do want to talk about this. At Secret Knock, the guy, Frank Shankwitz, he passed away a couple of weeks ago, amazing human being. And before he died, I asked him, I go, what is your wish? And he goes, no one asked me. I said, well, you're the founder of Make-A-Wish. I'd like to grant your wish. What do you want? And he said, I just want my story to be told. So he signed over his life rights, and I said, I'll make it into a movie. I just never made a movie. he trusted me. I didn't know what I was doing. I live on the beach in San Diego, right? So what happened was it took me 6 years. Oh, you have no idea the trials and tribulations, but I kept pushing forward stickability, always adapting and adjusting. And last year it came out and we made the short list, the actual ballad for the Oscars. And we're trending worldwide on Netflix right now called Wishman. Wishman. Everyone should watch this movie. And it was really interesting because people go again, well, it's easy for you. Look, no one in Hollywood knows who I am. So what I did is I said, well, who's getting the results I want? And I go, okay, who's won an Oscar? Who's won a Grammy? Who's won a Golden Globe? And I reach out to them with what? Specificity. And said, hey, listen, my name's Greg. I'm making a life story about the founder of Make-A-Wish. I need 12.5 minutes of your time. I'll cover all my expenses and be there. From the moment I leave to my living, wait 12 and a half minutes. I'm going to ask you one simple question. Give me one nugget of something I wish that, you know, you wish you would have known earlier starting in this business. And what do you think I did? I applied that wisdom. Here we are.
So the whole reason, Greg, why I started the podcast is for my two kids, Maddox and McKenna. Maddox is 9 years old and my daughter is 12 years old. And I wanted to take iconic people like yourself. I wanted to humanize them. I wanted them to see that you doing what you're doing is that you're not a superhuman, that you're a human being, and that you have a great attitude, you have phenomenal work ethic, and that you have stickability. What would your advice be to Maddox and McKenna? And if you could use their names, it would be amazing.
I will say this. When you look back in life, the secret is to surround ourselves with people that are getting the results that we want for ourselves today. We stop asking people that don't know what they're doing and only seek people that can give us counsel. And the way we find that out is we ask them to show proof evidence of their success. And this is the thing that holds people back. They'll see an Instagram guru saying, hey, I can grow your Instagram. But they don't say, great, well, show me some of the people that you've grown their Instagram and prove to me that you've done it for yourself. And by the way, why do you only have 15 followers, yet you're going to get me 100,000? So most people don't have the courage and the fortitude to ask those tough questions to make sure that they're getting the right information in the right order. And then last but not least, understand this. It's not knowledge is power. It's the application of that knowledge becomes the power of success. You have to think it, you got to feel it, but ultimately we got to get off our backside, we got to take action, and we've got to do it.
Greg, you have been absolutely amazing. I want to thank every single person for listening to the Kelly Cardenas podcast. You see why I wanted to bring Dr. Greg on. This guy is absolutely phenomenal. I am going to ask you for a second podcast, and I'd love to be able to do it in person because I am in San Diego too. And I just think that you're incredible, and I want to thank you for your time. And you are officially off the hot seat, Dr. Greg.
Done deal. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Have a great day.
Right there. Boom.